Hallelujah. Priests before warriors, Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Everybody there?
Amen.
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, he gave gifts to men he led. Do you understand that? He didn't just give gifts to all men. He gave gifts to the ones he led. Amen. Of course, we know that the gift of salvation is available to all men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And we've talked about this. It's a representation where Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and life. And the way is a representation of the cross. The truth is a representation that he descended and defeated the powers of darkness. And the life is a representation that he ascended and sent the spirit of life. Amen? Do I need to repeat that? Okay. The way is a representation of the cross, because no one can come except for through the blood of the Lamb. So the cross is a representation of the exchange, which is known as the way. The truth is that Jesus says that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, the truth is that your fight and my fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. And Jesus defeated the powers of darkness. That's why he had to descend. And he ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father, sending the Spirit of life that we would have life. Amen? So that we can have fellowship with the Spirit of life, giving life. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 10 it says, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, he's assembling offices that his Spirit can minister through so that the fullness of Christ can be manifest in each and every one of his children. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we see everybody has a part. And if we're not pulling our share, it interferes with the rest of the body. Amen? Now, I want to go back to the offices. In verse 11 it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now listen, there's something that's not mentioned here because it should come automatically. And there's an office that when you become a believer, there is an office that is automatic, and it's called priest. Priest. Every person that comes to Jesus Christ, his first office that is granted to him is known as priesthood. Everyone is to be a priest. You can never fulfill an office of warrior or minister, evangelist, apostle, or any other office until you fulfill the priesthood office and maintain it. The moment you stop maintaining the priesthood office, you will lose your main office. Hello? Your priesthood office is the number one thing that God has given you. Hallelujah. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Praise be to God. So the first office that you and I are given is priest. Priest. That's why sometimes people backslide, because they've not maintained their priesthood. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Is everybody there?
Amen.
In verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. That means unknown, with no understanding. Or foolish of the gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts. In other words, there's different types of gifts, isn't there? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, different ministries, isn't there? And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So we see here that it's talking about this, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, isn't it? But it's still the same Spirit because they are one, isn't it? So we see that there are different ministries and different offices. Different activities is a representation of offices, ministries, and there are gifts. Gifts go along with offices. In fact, one of the first gifts that God gives you when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost is tongues. That's the one He can trust you with. Hello? That's the one you ain't going to blow. As long as you use it. So your first office that comes with the gift of priesthood is tongues. Glory to God. Why? Because you become the mouth, the tongue of God. Because you've got to learn to minister to Him. You've got to learn to intercede and so forth. Because that's a part of a priesthood. Now I'm going to go back into the Old Testament a little bit. And let's go back to Exodus 19. Hallelujah. We'll go a little bit back there just to show a little bit about the priests. Exodus 19. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know we've talked about this before, but the Holy Ghost wanted me to bring this up again tonight. It is important to us because we forget. Exodus 19 and verse 3. Exodus 19 verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." There's a ministry called Eagle's Wings now that are bringing the Jews from all over the world back into Israel. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." This was prophesied. The Lord told Moses to speak this, didn't He? So what was He doing? He was prophesying about a holy nation, a holy generation that was going to come into a priesthood covenant with God. Because He wasn't just calling, at this period of time, He just wasn't calling one tribe. He was calling mankind to become a priesthood. It was for everybody, wasn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we see here that the Lord used Moses. God spoke through Moses to prophesy and bring this into existence. And to God be the glory. Now, let's go to Exodus 28. Hallelujah. Exodus 28. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody all right? Exodus 28, verse 41, somewhere around there. Verse 40, something like that. Okay, let's go to 41. So you shall put... Oh, he's talking about garments. Let's back up a little bit. And he's talking about how priestly garments need to be worn, and Aaron is chosen to be a priest, and we're going to go over this again. We'll just go to verse 40. "For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and for beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests." So understand, one of the first things that a priest is he is sanctified unto the Lord. You know, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus, wasn't he? Now, Jesus came, didn't He, during that period of time? Well, you and I are a forerunner of His return the second time, aren't we? Hallelujah. So we see a priest ministers to God, doesn't he? And he is sanctified unto the Lord. And as I was sharing, John the Baptist was a forerunner, and you and I are forerunners of His second coming, aren't we? John the Baptist was known as a Nazarite. And he would come into the world, and he would not drink wine or eat unclean things, would he? You know, and people can argue all they want about, well, can I have a glass of wine with my dinner and so forth? I mean, you know, that's between them and God. But let me share something with you. How close do you want to be? That's up to you. The more sanctified you are, the closer you are. The Bible tells us to come out from among them, come out of the world. You know, the more sanctified you are, the less things of the world that you're involved in, the more sanctified you are. That doesn't mean that we live in this world and we got to be involved in certain things. You got to go to work and you got to, but you know what? There's a difference between fellowshipping with the world or being a friend with the world. Because the Bible says he who is a friend with the world is an enemy of God, isn't he?
Amen.
So how much you are sanctified depends on how close you are to the Lord. Amen? Now it talks about ministering to the Lord, doesn't it? Oh, praise be to God. All right, let's go to number 17. What is ministering to the Lord? Hallelujah. Number 17. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Okay, good. In verse 1, let's see here. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod. Okay, I want to go back a little bit before we go to the ministering to the Lord, I guess. How this priesthood began. And what about this rod? Speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. And you shall write Aaron's name on the rod of Levi, which was the tribe of Levi. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet you. And it shall be that the rod of man whom I will choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel, which they come against you. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and each of their leaders gave him a rod, a piece, for each leader according to their father's houses, 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron, of the rod of house of the house of Levi, had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms and yield ripe almonds. Hallelujah. So, praise be to God. We see something happen here, didn't it? Go to chapter 18 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house, which with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. So we see here that this rod was symbolic, and I want to share with you about this rod before we go on to ministering to the Lord. I'm trying to read my own notes, so sometimes it's difficult. But we see here that this priesthood started because the Lord had called Aaron, the tribe of Levites, to minister to him. Okay? Now, in Exodus 7, in verse 12, Exodus 7, hallelujah. So we see that this rod blossomed and it chose the tribe of Levi to become the priest for the Lord. And Aaron was the head of the tribe, so he was known as the high priest then. And in Exodus 7, it said in verse 12, I want to go over this one more time. And it says it again. Now listen, this is something powerful. Now Aaron's rod, you know, before Aaron was given this rod, and I want to back up a little bit before we come to the priesthood. Three things happened, and I want to show you. In Exodus 7, when Aaron, remember, Aaron was given the rod. It was Aaron that was doing the stuff, wasn't it? Moses was hearing from God, and Moses was telling Aaron what to do. Amen? Okay. In Exodus 7, verse 12, the rod was used here for every man. Okay, in verse 11, let's go back. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. In other words, they threw their rod down and it turned into a serpent, right? Everybody remember the Ten Commandments? Okay. But every man threw down his rod and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Now, one of the first things, and we're going to hold on and you'll get the understanding of this. One of the things that Jesus did was he cast out devils, didn't he? I want to do a parallel of this rod, okay? One of the things that Jesus did was he cast out devils. Does everybody get that? That was a representation of the rod that was taking up the other rods, the other serpents, okay? The second thing I want to show you is in verse 15. And he says, go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned into a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. Now we know that Jesus was struck, wasn't he, on the cross. Does everybody get it? And blood came out, didn't he? And that was an act that which was a sacrifice for me and you. But another miracle that he did is he turned water into wine. And the wine, we know that is a representation of the blood, isn't it? So that was the first miracle that Jesus did. Does everybody get that? Okay. And then we know that in Numbers, the rod became the priest, part of the priesthood. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So here we start. I'm backing up a little bit. I wanted to share with you the priesthood and share where it began. But we need to go back a couple steps here. The first step was God gave Moses, but he gave Aaron the rod, didn't he? Aaron used the rod. The rod was used for number one, taking dominion over the powers of darkness. Number two, for turning water into wine, or into blood, I'm sorry. But Jesus turned water into wine, didn't he? And also Jesus was struck. Okay, so you see the parallel here. And then the rod was budded at the tabernacle, which chose the priesthood. Is everybody with me? Now I want to conclude on this and go to Isaiah 11, just to show you understanding. Did I lose anybody? Pray in the Spirit. Okay. I'll go over this again very quickly. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 11. Everybody read the first verse with me. Is everybody ready? Isaiah 11, and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod. Do you understand that? Now, he was talking about the rod becoming flesh. Hallelujah. Therefore, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall go out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, which is the fullness of the Spirit. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the what? Rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So they're talking about Jesus, aren't they? So do you understand about the rod that was going to become manifest? Remember, the things of the Old Testament are a shadow of the things that were to come in the New Testament. So I wanted to show you about this priesthood because we're going to get to the place we know that Jesus is our high priest. And if we're the offsprings of the high priest, we are known as priests also. But we're going to get to all of this. So all of these things are given to me and you also. Doesn't the Bible say in Mark 16:16 and 17, and those who believe shall cast out devils, new tongues, and lay hands on a sick, and take up serpents, hello, and drink poison, and won't bother you, or you know, won't hurt you, right? Why? Because that's a form of priesthood. Does everybody get it? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so this priesthood, which was ordained by God, prophesied by through the lips of Moses to come into effect, that there would be a priesthood, and that was his intention. Of course, we know that was for Israel to declare the truth to the world, to the Jews, but he also knew that that was what was going to happen. So he was calling a priesthood, but he was also prophesying the true priest that was going to come into the world, known as the rod. So he showed the rod that was going to come in flesh by the rod of Aaron, who was the high priest, the original and first high priest. Now we know that Melchizedek was the first, known as the first high priest also. and they don't know where he came from or who he was, basically. But I think we do. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the next part. Is everybody all right? Okay, do you understand the parallel of the rod? Glory to God, and the priesthood. Amen? Okay, now let's go to the ministering to God, because I wanted to back up, because we are known as ministers, and it says ministers to God. Now, if you will go to Psalm 71. Ministers to God. Now, there are many ways of ministering to the Lord. We know that, don't we? Hallelujah. Psalm 71. Okay, thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Daddy. And we are called to be sanctified and ministers to God. And Psalm 71 and verse, hallelujah, verse 5 and 6. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually to what? To you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Praising and worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah. And Hebrews 13. Ministering to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament, what they used to do is they used to tie a rope around the priest's ankle. And when he used to go into the Holy of Holies, if he was unclean in any way, he died. There wasn't, okay, go back and get cleaned up. And then they would drag him out. They'd hear the bell go ding-a-ling, boom. Round one, there ain't no round twos in his presence. Praise be to God. Judgment came instantaneously in those days. But thank you, Lord, we're in the age of grace. Amen. That means when we blow it, time is ticking. It means you better hurry up and get right before that time takes out and judgment hits. In Hebrews 13, verse 14 and 15, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So we also sacrifice of praise. You know, and a priest does what? Sacrifices, doesn't he? He did the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Well, now the altar of God is a representation of your lips. Your lips are now the altar of God. So we want to constantly offer up the sacrifice of praise continually. That's why people get in trouble. Because the devil puts his hand over our mouth. And the Lord is saying, come on, praise me, speak to me. You know, I'll be walking during the day. I can't let my mouth be quiet for a period of time. I mean, yes, I get before the Lord and I'm quiet. I don't need to. But there'll be a time that I'm going, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Why? I'm always making contact. Always making contact. A point of contact. Remember we talked about a point of contact. If you're always making contact, you know, people drift. Did you ever notice that when you don't make contact in a period of time, you drift, don't you? It's like, whoa. You know, so you got to always make contact. And I remember the Lord illustrated that, making contact with my dog. Praise God. You know, my dog, when I used to walk, I didn't need a leash with her. And she'd always bump her nose towards my knee, always making contact to make sure I was there. When I stopped, she sat. I don't care if a cat came by or anything. She'd look at me because there was a communication and there was always contact. She was always seeking counsel, correction, and direction. Hallelujah. Glory. In John 4. In John chapter 4. Glory, priests before warriors. Don't try and be a warrior without fulfilling your priesthood. And don't try to be a warrior without maintaining your priesthood. Because you'll get beat up. Hallelujah. And John 4 and verse 23, glory, somewhere around there. Is everybody there? Let's read this together in verse 23. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that's ministering to the Lord. Why? You're fulfilling your priesthood. You know, it's amazing to me when we go, when God calls a time of worship, he's not saying, read your Bible. He's not saying, look it, go pray for somebody. That's not God. When God ordains and he calls us for a time of worship, if somebody comes up to you during worship and says, look it, man, I got to pray for you, rebuke them. That's not the Lord. God never interrupts himself. You tell that person, go back and worship the Lord. God is not telling you to come over and pray for me. Since when can somebody do something that God can't?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, man, I got a word for you. I got a word for you. Go back and worship the Lord. And you can talk to me after I'm done ministering to my daddy. Because remember, the devil will try and use someone to try and interrupt worship. And let me tell you something. Even when guys start to get touched by the Lord, I always tell them, leave your hands off. Don't go over there and give them soulish ministry. Oh, it's going to be all right. Forget it. Let God, as soon as you touch him, you quench the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's over. And that person gets sucked up in the soulish realm and loses sight what the Holy Ghost is telling him.
Amen.
Do not interfere. Amen?
Amen?
Like I said, what can we do that God can't? So somebody comes up to you during praise and worship and says, listen, man, I got a word for you. Let me pray for you. Rebuke them. Go back. I got a word for you. You need to go finish your priesthood. Glory to God. I got a word for you. You just heard from a familiar spirit. Because that ain't my daddy. He don't interrupt himself. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 10. Amen? Hey, this is how we learn, you know? And I know everybody's fallen into this one way or another. I mean, you know, I did it when I was growing in Christ too. Amen. Unfortunately, they listened to me, so. And then I interrupted their worship, but, you know, I learned. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 10. In verse 1. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And this is Saul who is becoming to be called king. So God had to anoint him, didn't he? Now, who did this? Samuel did this. Now, at this period of time, even the prophets of God were known as priests. Okay? They were known as priests. They were known as the anointed men of God. So, and they ministered to the Lord, didn't they? They did the sacrifices and so forth. God spoke to them. You got to understand something. A priest is one who goes into the Holy of Holies. He sits before God. After he ministers to him, he gets counsel, correction, and direction from God for his life and for the life of God's people. That's why a husband needs to have a direct line of communication and fulfill his priesthood so that he can direct his family.
Amen.
Amen? Not that a woman doesn't either. Yes. But the husband is known as the head of the house. And he's accountable. Hello? Praise God. In verse 5. And so he tells them, "And all after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with what? String instruments and tambourine and a flute and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying." Why? They were ministering to the Lord. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Hallelujah. Only the Holy Ghost can turn you into another man. Amen? So we understand here that it is important that ministry and praise and worship be done unto the Lord. Amen? And we'll get further into this a little bit later. But we know that David was a worshiper before he came a king. He was a worshiper. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on a little bit here. Now, so we see here that there is a lot of responsibility to become a priest, isn't there? And to maintain your office of priesthood. Remember that it's the first office God gives me and you. We are to minister to the Lord. We are to be sanctified and be holy. in Leviticus 16, if you'll go there. All the blood of Jesus. Now, you know, I don't want any confusion here. As I'm talking about priests, I also mean priestesses. What's a female priest? Priestess. Like a prophetess. Priestess. So women are also priestess. They're very priestess. Hallelujah. Leviticus, what did I say? I meant 21. Hallelujah. Pull your erasers out, okay? We'll go to 16 right after this, okay? All right. Leviticus 21. Glory to God. Some things just don't change. In verse 7. Wow. Somewhere around there. Let's start at verse 5. Now, we know that this is the Old Testament, right? And they shall not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edge of their beards, nor make any cut in their flesh. Now, remember I shared with you before that in the Old Testament, this is a representation of, okay, here we go. Now, hold on. Don't get crazy. Cutting their flesh was a representation of piercing and tattooing. And shaving their head was a representation of rebellion towards God. Now, look at what the trend is now. Tattoos, shaved heads, and piercings. People are piercing their tongues, their eyes, their lips, their belly buttons, their whatever. Shaving their heads, bald. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that if you're a child of God that, you know, whatever. Okay? But I want you to look at the trend. See, Satan has brought the trend up. Does everybody understand that? Because in the Old Testament, it was a representation of rebellion towards God. Hallelujah. Let's go further. In verse 6, they shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the offering of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. So we see here that this is a representation of what God is requiring me and you to do. Now we know that things are different now, aren't they? Amen? But how close do you want to be to God? Now it doesn't mean because marrying and so forth, someone that was divorced and whatever, they're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, aren't they? Amen. But don't you dare go out and marry someone and be unevenly yoked. You're asking for trouble. Because that's according to what is said right here. Amen? Glory to God. So we are to be holy, aren't we? Sanctified unto the Lord. It's a blessing when somebody says, man, you know what? I know you're sanctified unto God. I know you're sanctified unto God. People know you're sanctified unto God. You're not, you don't do the way the world does. You don't jump at anything. You're anxious for nothing. Anything that comes across your path, you say, I pray about it. It's like, well, man, you know, when the light turns green, you don't pray to go. Amen? You go. Your life is totally different. You're holy and sanctified unto God because everyone in this room is a priest unto the Creator of the universe and who's created me and you and granted me and you eternal life with Him. Sanctified unto Him. Holy. That's why he says, present your members as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for reasonable service. Amen? In Leviticus 10. Oh, praise God. We'll see if we can get this all on this tape. Glory to God. In Leviticus chapter 10, priests before warriors. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, you got to remember, priests don't lie either, right? Hello? They don't play games. They're serious. They're serious about their God and their relationship with the Lord. Because what you sow is what you'll reap. When you get serious about God, He gets serious about you. Hallelujah. In Leviticus 10 and verse 8. Okay, is everybody there? Good. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you. When you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. Man, you know how many times, I mean, you know, think about it. Think about, you know what, there was, I remember I would not go to church high. I wouldn't go to church with drugs in my pocket when I was a altar boy. Hello.
Altar
boy. You know, after I was an altar boy, you know, whatever. And then I was in the gangs and so forth. For some reason, because I was brought up knowing that there was a God and that there was a reverence to God, I didn't know him, but I knew that there was one. Man, I just wouldn't go into a church with dope in my pocket or being high. I just couldn't do it. Praise be to God. And he's talking about this here. He's saying, you come in here and you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Ooh. That you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. Now listen, you know that a priest's responsibility is to tell others what is holy and unholy and what is clean and unclean? That's your responsibility. First of all, you got to know it. That's why it's important to understand about accursed items. That's why it's important to understand about tattoos and things of that degree where they need to be anointed and a curse is broken off of them. Amen? And the piercings and so forth. You know, the big thing we see now is the piercing of the tongue. Well, doesn't a serpent have a pierced tongue?
Amen.
Hello? Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about a fat lip, all right? That's different. When your tooth pierces your lip, it's different. Praise be to God. So we are to know these things, aren't we? Amen? Let's go to Leviticus 16, like I said we would. Glory to the Lamb. Leviticus 16, and verse 1. Is everybody there? Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. Daddy was serious, you know that? I mean, you didn't come into his holy place and just offer up something because you felt like it. It's like vows. Offering up vows and can't commit to them. It's called profane. That's fleshly offerings to God. You should never make a vow. Oh, Lord, I'll never do that again. You know what? You're going to do it again. Then you have a covenant with God Almighty. You already have all the vows you need. People make vows and they can't commit to it and they bring a self-imposed curse. And I know that there's a lot of things going on. Well, man, you need to make a vow with God. I'm already in a vow. I have a covenant with Him. What do I need to make anything? What do I want to do? Add something to what God has already done? Anyways, hallelujah. In verse 2, and the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. In other words, make known your entrance, huh? Don't just come before me at any time. That was in the Old Testament. Now we can come before him boldly, can't we, through the blood of Jesus. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash and with the linen turban. He shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. Now we see that there was a ritual, wasn't there, about before coming before the Lord. But Jesus paid that price for me and you. The garments now that you and I wear are the righteousness of Christ. They are white, holy garments because they were washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And it's known as also the bride because the bride has a garment on, doesn't she? Amen. And we don't want to get before him with a blemished garment. That's why it's important that you, when you begin your day and you end your day, you repent of all your sins. Never go before the Lord without, you know, starting your day. Now, I'm not saying that we don't sin during the day, but you've started your day into the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Joshua 6. What else does a priest do? Oh, glory. Joshua. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Joshua 6. Joshua 6. Let's see here. In verse 4. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of the ram's horn, before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times. We know this about Jericho. And the priest shall who? Who shall? The priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Now I want you to understand something. It is the priest's responsibility to blow the trumpet. In other words, the representation of blowing the trumpet was the preparation or the call for war. The trumpet blast was for war, for a warning, or for a gathering. For war, for a warning, or for gathering. And as a priest, we need to seek God, right, for a warning, amen, to know about war, when to do spiritual warfare, and for a gathering, so we can tell the people. Amen? So that's another duty of the priest. Praise be to God. And Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy. What did I say to go? Deuteronomy 17. Okay, good. Glory. Deuteronomy 17, verse 8. If a matter arises which is too hard for you to judge, between degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge there in those days, and inquire of them, and they shall pronounce upon you the sentence of judgment. Priests are known as judges. Priests are known as judges, and we know that we are to judge. The Bible tells us that we are judged by no one, being mature in the spirit, but we are to judge spiritual things with what? Spiritual things. Amen. Praise be to God. So we are known as judges also. In 2 Chronicles 34. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 34. And we know that we're to judge them by their fruit. Remember, somebody comes up to you smoking a cigar and having a bottle of wine in their hand. They say they got a word of the Lord for you. You tell them you got a word of the Lord for them. Hallelujah. Yeah, man. I got a word of the Lord for you. That's good. Be quiet. 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So who found it? The priest. It's important that the priest handles the word. Does everybody get that? Go to verse 20. And it says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So he sees wrath come, right? So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tekoth, and the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her to that effect. Now, we see here that the priest handles the book. Now, the Bible tells us to study, right, to study the Word of God, to what now? Show that you're approved. Approved by who? God. We're to study the Word so that we know that we're approved by God. Go to 2 Timothy. I'm going to show you another one. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So a priest must know the Word, and he better walk it too. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 15, let's read this together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's important. And we do find many people not rightly dividing the word of truth. But, you know, because they don't have that fellowship with the Spirit. So we need to handle the Word of God according to the Spirit of God, rightly dividing the truth. Amen? And remember something. The devil does not depart on the location of a scripture. You cannot say, listen, devil, 2 Corinthians such and such. He laugh at you. Jesus never quoted a location of a scripture. He quoted the scripture. Remember, the original text had no locations. Does everybody get it? God wrote it. Man translated it. Hallelujah. Quoting locations don't do nothing. You got to quote the word. Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Priests before warriors. Nehemiah 7. Verse 64. These sought their listing among those who were registered by the genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. And the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things till a priest could what? Consult with the Urim and Thummim. And I want to talk a little bit about that. So we see here that a priest is to do the consulting, isn't he? Now the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the counselor, isn't he? He is the counselor. Jesus is our counselor. Well, if you have relationship with Him and you are in fellowship with the Spirit, you will have the Spirit of counsel. Does everybody get that? And you will consult the things in the Spirit to bring forth that which is in the Spirit and bring it into the natural, because you are a representation of a priest. You have a priesthood. So you'll find that people will come to you and get counsel, won't they? And of course we know that in Psalm 1, let's go there. Hallelujah. In Psalm 1, oh, we could go on forever on this. Praise be to God. In Psalm 1, somebody there? In verse 1 it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of what? Ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There's a guideline right there. You follow that guideline, praise be to God. So, we don't want ungodly counsel, we want godly counsel, don't we? Exodus 28, please. Exodus 28. Oh, hallelujah. In Exodus 28, verse 29. And we talked about the priests seeking, getting counsel with the Thummim, right? And the Urim. Or the Urim, whatever you say it. Urim. U-R-I-M. Okay, in chapter 28, I'm sorry, in verse 29. Is everybody there? Amen. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Now, they were either stones or precious gems. They were put, he had a vest on known as the ephod. And he put these stones in his ephod, and over these here were the 12 tribes of Israel. I want to share a couple of things with you just to give you a little insight. These gems or these stones determine God's will in certain matters. And what they used to use, and there are theories about how they were used. One of the theories was they were used like dice. And on them were symbols of the tribes of Israel, and certain symbols, whether it meant a yes or no answer, or, you know, to that degree. So they used to throw them. Another was that they would stare at them, and they would go into a trance. This is a theory. And then as they would, in other words, they would go into the Spirit, and as they went into the Spirit, God would speak to them. And of course, another theory was is that they would flash They would like almost light up. They would flash to determine the answer. And they were over the breastplate. Now, because God judges by righteousness, doesn't he? And what is our full armor now? The breastplate of what? Righteousness. Does everybody get that? And of course, it's over the heart. And the heart is a representation of the heart of God for his people. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Amen. So those, and we see that two means witness, doesn't it? Two means witness. Well, you have two now. Your spirit and the Holy Ghost. Your spirit and the Holy Ghost, which is brings witness. Now, we know in Ezekiel 11, if you'll go there, please. I want to bring you a little parallel of Old Testament and New Testament also. Priesthood. Glory to God. And Ezekiel, Brother Zeke, powerful man of God. I can't wait to get home and talk to him for a while, man. Whoa. Well, I'm going to spend a lot of my years talking to some of these dudes, man. Let me tell you. Brother, what happened in this? Let me tell me about it. Of course, we'll be experiencing it then ourselves. I might not need to ask. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel 11. In verse 18. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Is everybody with me? Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a what? New spirit within them. Take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my way, in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So we see here that there's two things he said. What was he going to do? Give them a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. See the two witnesses there also. Hallelujah. And of course, we know that the Lord says two things in John 3. He says, you must be born again. By what? Water and spirit. Does everybody get that? So you see the reference there also. Born again. Becoming a priesthood. And we don't need to go to that, right? Good. And Hebrews, okay, Hebrews 9. Priest before king. Priest before warriors. I'm sorry. A king is a warrior anyway. And Hebrews chapter 9. Glory, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which... Sorry, that's 12. Hallelujah. I'm going to get there tonight. In Jesus' name. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinance of divine service in earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden incense, or the golden censer, I'm sorry, and the ark of the covenant overlaid all the sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Now listen, these are things that you and I are now the tabernacle, aren't we? Hallelujah. And these things are in us. The man has a representation of the word, isn't it? The living word. The tablets of the of Moses' tablets, the Ten Commandments, is a representation of the written word. Hallelujah. The bud and the rod of Aaron was a representation of priesthood. And covenant, and of course the whole thing was a representation of God's new covenant with us as being priests. Praise be to God. Let's go a little further. And above it were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the mercy seat. All these things we cannot speak in detail, but we can. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without the blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing there. It was representation for all to go in there. Not yet. Now remember also, a priest is a representation of a praise and worship leader. Every one of us is called to be a praise and worship leader. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Jesus was not of this creation, was he? Hello. He came in as man, but he was not of this creation because he is the creator. So he has made way. Now, if we're the offsprings of the high priest, are we not known as priests? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And also fulfilling the priesthood. Now, I want to go to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 24. Hebrews 7 and verse 24. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He's talking about Jesus. Therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make what? Intercession for them. So you think a priest ought to be making intercession for others?
Amen.
In fact, Romans 8:6 says that, what's it say? I guess we better go there. Or 8:26, I'm sorry. Romans 8:26, glory to God. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we see that he's making intercession through me and you. Amen. That's why it's good to pray in the Holy Ghost, because you're making intercession. Hallelujah, we're getting somewhere. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Pete chapter 2. Brother Pete, I got a lot of things to talk about him too. A lot of things. Man, I want to know how it was to run. You know what I mean? Same thing. You know what I mean? When Daddy picks him up and runs. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Of course, we know that happened to Elijah too, didn't it? Daddy picked him up and he cruised. He beat Ahab home. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. I guess we can start at verse 1. 4. Verse 4. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. We're chosen by Daddy and we're precious. Ain't nothing you can do that can prevent his love from coming to you. Only if you're rejected. You also, our living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are what? Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Now we know that the word believe means to follow. You can believe and still be put to shame, can't you? Because you ain't doing the right things. So we know the word believe means to follow. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become a chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Hello. But you are a chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And praise be to our heavenly Father, and to God be the glory. A royal priesthood. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Good. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus the Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see that we are called to be kings and priests, but you will not fulfill your kingship as a representation of a warrior until you fulfill your priesthood. And that is an office that is constant to the day you hit the throne room of God. If you neglect that office, you will also neglect your kingship or warrior or office of position. Amen. Praise be to God. So we see here that he has made us priests, and it's so important, and I emphasize over and over about being a worshiper, being a worshiper, being a worshiper, using the gift of tongues that God has given you, using the gifts, going into the Holy of Holies, taking that time and sitting silently before the Lord, getting counsel, correction, and direction. Amen. And seeking the office that God has put you, whatever it may be, and wherever you may be. Amen. Don't be ignorant of the things. You know, wisdom and knowledge and understanding come through the Spirit of God, but lack of fellowship with him, you'll find that he'll dull, the devil will step in and dull you. And that's his job. You're not fighting flesh and blood. Remember, he's out to eat you. He wants to eat you up. That's his job. You know, and I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. I mean, there's a lot to go here, but I'm going to shorten this here. I think we got the message. 1 Corinthians 6. You know, I share this over and over because God has allowed me to go into the jail and minister. And I get a lot of guys that come in there, man. Man, they can quote the scriptures. They can't walk it. They can quote it, but they can't walk it because they neglect their priesthood office. And that's why they end up back. They end up back in jail. And 1 Corinthians 6, in chapter 6 and verse 19. Let's start at 17, please. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Glory to God. And we know that Jesus was known as the great prophet here also on the earth, wasn't he? He came as a prophet, he ascended as the priest, and he's going to return as the king, isn't he? Hallelujah. In verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true and righteous. He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's us. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to close with the scripture. Would you go to Revelation 20. I think that's it. Yeah. Revelation 20. And verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped, do you understand? Not worshipped the beast. Not worshipped creation. Hello? You know, people don't understand that when they begin to worship creation, a mark shows up on them. Even now, a mark shows up on them. Why? Because you're sealed with the Spirit of God. And there's a mark by the Spirit, isn't there? When you defile that which is of the Spirit, the mark of manhood or worldliness begins to show up on us. Why? Because it says mark about on the forehead and the hand, doesn't it? The things, the thoughts of the carnal and the works of the carnal. A mark shows up. And in the period of time of tribulation, It'll be a physical mark, won't it? But right now, there's a spiritual mark that will show up in your life when you begin to worship creation instead of the Creator. Okay. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image and not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So, I want to encourage everyone to go to one more scripture. Praise be to God. Revelation 2. And we're going to close with this. Okay, so just hold on now. Just hold on. We got to hold on. We got to finish with this. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, is everybody there? Come on, let's read this together. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. By this you have that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. What's he saying? Don't lose your first love. The minute you begin to lose your first love, you remove yourself from the priesthood position, the priesthood office. Overcome. Don't get sucked into the ways of the world. Maintain your priesthood, ministering to the Lord, taking that time with him. It's important. When it comes time to worship, worship. Listen, you got to learn to worship God by yourself. You must go into the Holy of Holies and learn to get there and get a meal from him. Amen?
Amen.
And to God be the glory. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask for the anointing to maintain the priesthood. And Lord, when we begin to walk away from it, we ask for great conviction and power to say yes to our priesthood and no to worship of creation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.